We'll call this meeting of the Board of Supervisors to order for Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020, at 8:45 on the clock. Begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left, attendance by observation, Jurgens Hill, Team and Dorn, and Lytle. Up first, Consent Agenda. Approve the general agenda, approve minutes of the meeting held September 9th, 2020, approve all claims through September 23rd, 2020, in the amount of $7,016,609.16. Accept claim number 20090118 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $775 to be voted on separately below. Approve and placed on file correspondence received. Approve receiving treasurer's list of delinquent taxes on parcels of real estate in the county which remain unsold for want of bidders, and directing the county treasurer to issue county tax sales certificates. Approve verifying sheriff's distress warrant report and striking DW number 6907100 in the amount of $81.21. Approve utility permit number 1160 to Diller Telephone. They will be plowing and boring in approximately 2.25 miles of fiber, 48 count, 24 count, or 2 count cables. It will bore 3 inch diameter, 5 to 10 foot below creeks, roads, crossings, and all culverts. Cable will be encased in 1.25 inch smooth wall pipe. Cables will be placed 24 feet from the center of the road in the bottom of the greater ditch, 5 foot deep. And vaults will be placed along the 33-foot right-of-way located in the northeast-southeast quarter section 21, northeast-northwest quarter section 22, southwest quarter section 14, and northwest quarter section 23, Township 3 North, Range 5 East, Lincoln Township. Approve utility permit number 1161 to Diller Telephone. It will be plowing and boring in approximately 4.5 miles of fiber, 48 count, 24 count, and 2 count cable. It will bore 3 inch diameter, 5 to 10 foot deep below creeks and road crossings and all culverts. Cable will be encased in 1.25 inch smooth wall pipe. Cable will be placed 24 foot from the center of the road in the bottom of the greater ditch, 5 foot deep, and vaults will be placed along the 33 foot right of way located in the northwest, southwest, southeast quarter section 36, Township 4 North, Range 5 East, Blakely, and southeast, southwest quarter section 6 and northeast quarter section 7, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, Riverside Township, northeast, northwest, southeast quarter section 1, northeast quarter section 12, Township 3 North, Range 5 East, Lincoln Township. Approve utility permit number 1162 to Diller Telephone. They will be plowing and boring in approximately 14.5 miles of fiber, 48, 24, and 2 count cable. They will be boring 3 inch diameter, 5 to 10 foot deep below creeks and road crossings and all culverts. Cable will be encased in 1.25 inch smooth wall pipe. Cable will be placed 24 foot from the center of the road in the bottom of the greater ditch, 5 foot deep, and vaults will be placed along the 33 foot right of way located in the northeast southeast quarter section 24, northeast northwest section 25, northwest southeast quarter section 36, southeast quarter section 26, northeast northwest southeast quarter section 35, Township 3 North, Range 5 East, Lincoln Township, and northeast northwest quarter section 1, northeast quarter section 2, Township 2 North, Range 5 East, Elm Township, and northwest quarter section 6, Township 2 North, Range 6 East, Sicily Township, and northwest southwest southeast quarter section 19, northwest southwest southeast quarter section 29, southeast southwest quarter section 20, northwest quarter section 32, southwest quarter section 28, northwest, southwest, southeast quarter section 31, northwest, southwest quarter section 30, township 2, north range 5, east Riverside Township. Boy, we could almost put kind of a blanket on some of these. Approved utility permit number 1163 to Diller Telephone. They will be plowing and boring in approximately 1.5 miles of fiber, 48 count cable. They will bore 3-inch diameter, 5 to 10 foot deep below creeks and road crossings and all culverts. Cable will be encased in 1 1/4 inch smooth wall pipe. Cable will be placed 24 feet from the center of the road in the bottom of the grader ditch, 5 foot deep, and vaults will be placed along the right of way. Located in the northwest quarter section 20, northeast northwest quarter section 19, northwest southwest quarter section 17, township 3 north, range 6 east, Riverside Township. Approved utility permit number 1164 to Northern Natural Gas. They will be boring 4-inch diameter, 6 foot below ditch, and under Oak Road for 66 feet for new cathodic rectifier protection cables for the existing pipeline. Located approximately 100 feet east of the southwest corner of Section 32, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, Riverside Township, and northwest corner of Section 5, Township 2 North, Range 6 East, Sicily Township.
Could you repeat that?
Do it. He was the one that was in a hurry to get started.
I assume you just mean Sicily Township. I would ask for a motion to approve and a second.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Thank you. Please vote. Mr. Lytle, 5 in favor, motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 2009-0118 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $775. This brings the total amount of claims approved through September 23rd, 2020 to $7,017,384.16, and this is one of my companies.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens. Second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 4 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Motion carries.
Get the one at the bottom.
Oh, thank you.
No, I missed it too.
Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Would you please give your name and address for the record?
Leone Dieter, 825 East Birch Road, Cortland. And I would like to respectfully request that the board reconsider extending the moratorium on wind energy until the P&Z has time to review the regs again and review the suggestions that were given to them. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Leone. Any other comment from the public? All right. Go on to committee reports. Building and ground winter lights. Didn't really have any building and grounds discussion.
No, we didn't have any discussion on grounds this time.
Equalization, not really any equalization either. Levies go out. Did Patty say next week?
I think so.
Finance and insurance. Mr. Juergens.
This is going to take about as long as your speech. Beatrice Community Hospital, inmate medical, $11,430.64. Gage County, fund transfer, judgment fund, $1,518,860. Quadiant Leasing, USA, lease payment, $17,512.17. What is that, Don?
Postage stuff.
Okay. Southeast Nebraska Development District membership, $11,692. Beatrice Concrete, sand and gravel, rock, $38,957.84. partial payment to pavers for work that's been completed for the 2020 overlay project, $618,936.64. Depository Trust and Clearing Company principal bond interest payments for the 2013 road bond, $2,400,182.29, and that pays that one off, right, Mr. Chairman?
That pays off that road bond. That was the vote of the people, yep. So there will be that reduction of 3 mils on their taxes this year.
This is the ones that hurt. Bartle Gear Law Firm, Judgment, Beatrice 6, Joseph White Estate, $482,732.53. Bartle and Gear Law Firm, Judgment, Beatrice 6, Kathleen Gonzalez, $154,476.01. Bartle and Gear Law Firm, Judgment, Beatrice 6, Thomas Winslow, $482,737.53. Bartle and Gear Law Firm, Judgment for Beatrice 6, Joanne Taylor, $482,737.53. Chalupa. Judgment, Beatrice 6, Deborah Shelton, $148,683.16. Friedman Law Office, Judgment, Beatrice 6, James Dean, $179,578.37. That brings a total for the Beatrice 6 judgment this round, $1,930,950.13.
Part of that is the sales tax. There's like $400,000 that we collected in sales tax.
Good.
Up until this point, so we are paying whatever we have in that account. Yeah. Up to the point.
Good.
Then we should receive the settlement from the insurance companies within the next 30 days or so, and then that'll, of course, go out right away as well.
Good.
Anything else for finance and insurance? Human resources.
Yes. Steve Whitmer from the Ag Society was here to discuss the what will be an open position at the Extension office in regards to a 4-H agent. And our thought process is we will, you know, be in contact with the university and have discussions on how that is going to look. In addition to that, we had a closed session regarding personnel in the highway department.
You can announce.
Okay. And Janie saw is retiring. That's going to be the open position. Her last day will be 1st of October. 5th of October will be Jane's last day, 5th of October.
Do we know how many years she's been on?
No, long time, 30-some, 34 or 35 years, something like that.
Oh, over 40 years?
Oh, maybe it is. Okay, I don't know. I haven't looked at the number yet.
A lot of years. Law enforcement, emergency management.
Good morning. I gave you guys a permit list of where we're at for our permits right now. I've had several calls over the last 2 weeks of availability of product. You know, we all know that lumber has increased significantly, so those start dates have changed, and some of them are on hold right now, and also grain bins on steel and so forth. So we're looking kind of at some of those projects not getting completed this year, but they do have permits on them. So it appears, honestly, that COVID slowed down a lot of that production, you know, in those industries, and that's what's hitting the market right now. I have several apps in review. They're not as simple as normal, so they're requiring a little bit more research on them. Tuesday night, we do have this coming Tuesday night, we have a zoning meeting, barring that we can get quorum there with harvest and so forth on. Basically, the agenda will include just an overview of what you guys, you know, talked about in terms of regulations on wind to address and to begin research. The thoughts were, the hopes were to start it so that as guys had windshield time, you know, and harvest time, that they could be pondering that. But we'll see closer to time if we can get that in. And then obviously the moratorium that you guys placed on wind and solar, I think, was dated July 15th, and so that would date that at October 15th being up. So so we'll just ask for some guidance there, whatever you direct us for to do. As far as the emergency management side of things, as you know, I know Doug had a good report on the COVID and the risk dial. Right now, we're at 63 new cases in our Gage County over the last 14 days. We're aware of the challenges right now that are happening again in the long-term care facilities. So that seems to be cycling in again. And so we hope right now testing is available within every long-term care facility. It's been given to them during either through the Test Nebraska funding, or they've went out and seeked it on their own so they can test daily. So we'll see where that takes us. PPE orders are increasing because there still is unavailability for the private sector to get some of the supplies, such as the masks and the gloves. And so we'll look for that to increase in our department. So far, I think my shortages on availability is there's no N95, so they're being forced to use a KN95, which doesn't fit as well and can't be fit tested as well. And then also some of the gloves that are needed. So I put the order in, and so far we'll see how that works for next week.
Lisa, this morning on the news I saw a report where there was this huge percentage of people that were being classified as COVID deaths, whether they died from COVID or not. And I saw, I think it was in Michigan, 97. There was a 97% death rate from COVID-19. 97% of the people had 2 to 3 other potentially morbid conditions that went along with that. And then they also found out a bunch of people that were killed by COVID or died from COVID weren't even tested for COVID because they were just reported as deaths of COVID. Do you have any information on that?
I do not have information on the Nebraska statistics. I've read the same things that you have, but I don't have on the Nebraska statistics.
Because, I mean, as a layperson, that seems like the worst possible way to skew numbers would be to throw that out there. Sure. John, usually study this stuff. Have you seen anything on this?
You know, I'd certainly make a comment. You know, there's a lot of numbers getting thrown out there, and, you know, a lot of them do have a coexisting condition. I have a coexisting condition that would be considered. Most of the people on this board have a coexisting condition that would be considered, you know, put you at risk for COVID. If you get COVID and die from it, you died from COVID. I didn't die from a little bit of hypertension. I expect to live for some time with that.
I assume we're going to see a lot more on this, though, in the coming months after more studies are done and more information's out.
The last study that I saw, obesity, you know, was factored in there also, the weight, which is probably the largest contributing factor to that other accentuating circumstance that why COVID is taking a harder risk. So I have to admit to that. So I would be one of those, you know, outer lining areas that another pre-existing condition. So I'll keep listening and asking Public Health Solutions for their intake on that. Over the weekend, the DHM, there's a new DHM that was brought out by Dr. Antone. The biggest thing that targeted was the way schools are handling isolation situations. And the biggest difference right now is those classrooms that are choosing to mask and those classrooms that are choosing not to mask. So it boils down to the fact of if a positive child in a classroom, no matter what age, or student in a university, if they are requiring masks within a classroom, the standards and how they conduct going home for the entire classroom versus, you know, self-monitoring or either monitoring twice daily by the school nurse is how that's being handled. So, and then obviously the outdoor sporting events, too, are being, there were some provisions in that, too. As far as that's enough on COVID, we can talk about that for a very long time. But the next thing, one of the things that's on your agenda today is the Lower Big Blue NRD agreement. You guys have worked yourself through that process before in 2016. That's the hazardous mitigation plan that we're asking for. It's a 9-county area. It was a $200,000 grant, of which $150,000 is covered by FEMA. 25% is not. It's divided out amongst 9 counties, of which those 9 counties have each a cost of, I think it's like $4,100, somewhere in there. However, that can be offset by all the in-kind. So all our small villages are partaking in that. The city of Beatrice is now joining into that hazardous mitigation plan. So any meeting, anytime we're up here talking about it, counts towards that in-kind. So we should not have any problem with meeting that amount of that $4,166.
And Roger, have you seen this?
Yeah, we've, like I said, mm-hmm. we worked through this last time.
So
this does a good job of keeping track of our in-kind, so we can
sure.
offset that.
So. Yeah. So, again, what counts towards that, I was at the Village of Adams. They have 5 board members, so we talked about it. Every one of those board members were there. That counts for, 5 hours, honestly, and so then you prorate that out on your spreadsheet. And I think right now we're up to $2,100 so far of what we've had meetings for. So it'll be easy because our mitigation meeting for our district is October 18th. And it's at the extension office, so that's it.
John, do you want to comment on that moratorium at all? The wind moratorium or the solar moratorium?
Well, it is due to expire this. When's it due to expire?
The 15th of October.
15th of October. So it probably should be on the agenda next week to discuss both the wind moratorium and the solar moratorium, and whether we let them expire or continue either or both of them.
Let's make sure that is on the agenda, and then that way we can address those. And I'll try to come to the P&Z meeting too, if at all possible, just to see what discussions are there.
Okay.
Anything else for P&Z and emergency management? Thank you, Lisa.
Yep.
Morning, Sheriff.
Morning, Mr. Chairman.
Morning.
Just a couple things coming up on the agenda. In just a little bit, we'll have a discussed approve or disapprove contract for the bridge. That used to be what they used to call the detox center in Lincoln. They're called the bridge now. That's where we take our people up that are too intoxicated or too high on drugs to be in our facility. Because of COVID, they've shut back on the number of beds they have. I think they're down to 9 now. I don't remember how many they had for sure at full capacity, but they want to go 9. So when they're doing that, they're asking that if you're going to use the facility, you sign a contract. That's what this is. Roger's office has reviewed it. It's on the agenda now. They're going to charge you $214 for each person you bring in for a 24-hour period, and usually try to get them out within that time frame. Then we usually bring them back here if they have charges, or they kick them loose from there if there's nothing going on. So it's formality. It's what we have to have. I'll probably still do a civil protective custody policy, but a very, very strict one, and I don't want to use it hardly at all. But this will relieve a lot of that problem, that liability for us having there in our facility. So that's coming up. The other thing is, and I think Roger's off still looking at this one, Richardson County has a contract now they'd like us to sign. We've used them in the past for holding inmates for it from time to time. And they're just asking now a contract be signed. I don't know if Roger's seen it yet or not.
Yeah, I've got a copy of it. We're going through it right now.
Okay.
It's not a one-pager.
Yeah, no, it's not. It must be a new county attorney did that one. it's pretty generic on it, but their rate's 55. It's been that for a long time. It's a little more than we're paying the other two places, but with our increasing numbers with females, it just causes some issues for classification purposes. So it's just good to have them there to take people down to from time to time. So,
with your bridge agreement, how much were you paying before?
To
Lincoln for that bridge agreement.
There was no charge on that in the past.
How are we going to? Where's that money going to come from?
Well, that's a discussion we're going to have to have. I suppose. I know Roger has been speaking to the city about it. They had one opinion. I'm assuming it's probably, I don't know if we're going to do a separate. We'll just take it out of my budget when I do mine. I don't know what Roger's thoughts are.
I mean, the discussion with the city was basically they were trying to hook into, and I'm sure they'll get the same rate we do.
Yes.
But they'll pay their own. We won't pay their.
Well, that's, you know, I guess if you want to look, I think that's the way it should be. And again, of course, they think, you know, see, the bottom line legally is until the detention center accepts the arrest, it's not our problem at the jail.
Well, we've had several now that have come in, had issues and gone, I mean, no more than got in the door and been sent up to the hospital, and all of a sudden a $10,000 bill's gone. So I'd be really careful accepting anyone that you're nervous about.
Well, on medical, we're pretty much, that's been dictated by courts. Unless it's an injury at time of arrest, it's going to come back on us. That's just, I don't agree with it at all, but in the court, lower court ruled one way and a higher court ruled the other for city county, but we come up on the losing end. That county did anyway, so we're stuck with those bills. But we certainly monitor that by all means, everything we can do. So.
And I would tell you with the COVID thing out there, law enforcement, we've made some decisions as far as arresting. That has changed as opposed to bringing them into the facility. A lot of these are cite and release. That we didn't have before, and the court's on board with us. So, you know, you may not like it, but
it's what it is.
A lot less. So, a lot of this is generated by the federal laws, as far as these people that come in and, oh, I've got this, I got that. We got a case right now out in Colorado, and I think Colorado might just hold on to him for a while.
That's how those two contracts.
Guess what is the average inmate population now? Average, whatever you would guess.
Well, I think we're 37 yesterday. I suppose we're going to be down around the low 30s again, probably in that kind of where we usually hold on average.
All right.
Yeah.
But keep in mind they're citing and releasing a lot.
Some are, yes. Yeah, some are.
His last quarter, our numbers were down the whole quarter, weren't they?
They might be down on the low side a little bit.
Because we were all the way down into the 20s for a while.
For a while, yeah. So much of our problem is, like now, is when you get a certain classification, you might have a couple empty cells, but because of how they're classified, you can't put them there and you got to go find elsewhere. It just is a burden, but it's one you got to deal with and move forward. So, okay.
Any questions for the sheriff?
Yes.
Mr. Lyons?
Yes, I forgot to ask you Monday, how is the dog working out with Crete? Is that functioning properly and we're ready to be done with that? Or
That's something that we're still discussing.
We're working, we're getting everything together so we can bring it as a package deal. And that's the way Tad Eichmann, the county attorney over in Saline County, is a little busy right now with that second murder trial. And so, I mean, we're still communicating, but...
Okay. We're getting close.
We'll have it on the agenda next time. We just got a couple That's little good. Hiccups that we got to iron out.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see that. Thank you.
Thanks, Sheriff. Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens. Mr. Hill.
Yes. The crews have basically been working with putting dirt and asphalt millings along the driveways of the new pavements. Overlays that have been done. They've basically completed the Southwest 89th, 2 miles north of Highway 4 that goes up to the nitrogen plant. They're working on the east part of the Pickerel Road from 82nd to 134th. That overlay has been completed, and they're working on placing dirt and millings along the intersections. And currently, any of this has changed Galen Way. Let me know, but currently Pavers is working on the Holmesville blacktop from Highway 136 down to the corner east of Holmesville. They plan to have the first lift done this week. They will be gone for a week for another project, and then they'll be back. And then the bridge on Mud Creek south of Holmesville between Holmesville and Blue Springs will close tomorrow, and be closed for the duration of that bridge replacement, which is estimated to be 2 to 3 months. Lytle had questions as far as our inspecting the bridges and who does them and why they do them. We had some discussion on contract labor for hauling. As mentioned earlier, we had a closed session on personnel. Doran talked about the Apple Road, the 1 mile east of Highway 41, and the condition of it and the fact that it's got a kind of a sandy hill and it's hard to keep in shape, and had significant discussion on that. Tiemann brought up the basically Court Street gravel that goes west to Beatrice across the Ellis Blacktop, and there's some areas there that are appear fairly flat and have a lot of washboarding. And obviously, Neilan reminded us again that it's very difficult to get rock or gravel at this time.
Who's the bridge contractor on that Holmesville Road?
Midwest
Infrastructure,
I believe is the name of it.
Is that the one that used to be Midwest Underground?
That I couldn't answer.
It's a different company. Anything else for road and bridge? Those notes seem very thorough.
Yeah, you must have done them yourself.
I edit to them.
All right. Up next, approve or disapprove interlocal agreement for cooperative all-hazard mitigation planning effort between Little Blue NRD, LB NRD, Lower Big Blue NRD, Upper Big Blue NRD, and the counties Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Gage, Jefferson, Knuckles, Saline, Thayer, and Webster. This is what Lisa brought up before. I don't know, Roger, do you want to add any, or this is already taken care of through your efforts and Lisa's efforts?
Yeah, Lisa, and again, we this isn't new. We've done it before, so basically the same group of folks that work together on these things. So,
motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens. Second by Lytle. Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries. Must be burning daylight there, Terry. Discuss and approve or disapprove entering into a contract with the Bridge Behavioral Health Facility in Lincoln, Nebraska. That's the detox center that the sheriff talked about.
Motion to approve. Second.
Moved by Lytle. Second by Juergens. Discussion. Please vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove settlement agreement and general release between Gage County and Employers Mutual Casualty Company, EMC. This one I would like Roger just to give us a rough brief on.
Again, the board advised the public what happened during the negotiations with our insurance carriers in reference to Beatrice 6 a few weeks ago. Basically, these are the formal agreements that have been hammered out. We had a memorandum of understanding that had been signed at the time of the negotiations. The bottom line was securing some releases on paper with the excess insurers, and I'll just leave it at that. This one is the contract with EMC, which is the largest, $3.9 million. Again, after all of the work from particularly the Joels, Bacon and Nelson, they did a wonderful job, and I would recommend the board approve this settlement and authorize the signature thereof.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens. Second by Lytle. Any discussion on this? Please vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove settlement with mutual release and hold harmless agreement between Gage County and Nebraska Intergovernmental Risk Management Association, known as NIRMA, and the excess insurers. Same thing, please, Roger.
Yeah, this is basically the same thing, except this one includes our principal carrier right now, NIRMA. Again, Bacon and Nelson did a very good job as far as negotiations. Derelict, we also had the chairman, Mr. Hill, Mr. Bauman were at the negotiations, and That was an all-day event. If you've never been through negotiations and mediation, yeah, they did a very good job. And again, the end result was $5.98 million for the county. Again, this board is to be commended, in my opinion, as well as the past chairman, Senator Dorn, who got this puppy going. So, again, a terrific outcome. That money will be paid per the agreements within 30 days of the signatures, and that will be then directly applied to the judgment. So I would recommend approval and authorization for signature.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. Any additional discussion on this? Please vote. 5 in favor. The motion carries. That was a long road, but that was Chairman Dorn got the ball rolling with that. The Joels did do a fantastic job, though. They started with basically nothing, and they let us know this was a long shot, but they kept picking away at it and finding every argument possible, and they really did a good job.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank the board members that did spend that full day up there, and Roger and Don.
Don.
Yep. For the time they put in on it, too.
Talking about being impatient, how would you like to have been in a room for 11 hours?
Couldn't do it.
And the other attorneys are there via video, Terry, so you couldn't go get them.
Yeah.
With that, I would ask for a motion to go into closed session at 9:21 on the clock for personnel.
So moved.
Necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. Who made that motion?
I did.
Gary.
Moved by
Dorn was second.
Moved by Gary, second by Dorn. Please vote. 5 in favor. We're
that
in closed.
That was Eddie Dorn.
What did I say?
You just said Dorn.
Oh. Moved by Lytle, second by Eddie Dorn. Vote. 5 in favor. We're in closed session at 9:21.
Moved to come out of closed session.
10:15 on the clock.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Vote. 5 in favor. We are out of closed session.
Before we ended the meeting.
And that's for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Hill, second by Juergens to adjourn. Please, at 10:15, please vote.
Why'd you vote against the Juergens?
I did.
4 in favor, motion carries. Jeez, when I saw 2, it's like, now what do we do?
We stay in session until you get vote.
Jeez.
Not sounding good.
You know what? We do more HR stuff.